Father, thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, thank you that it's not just a bunch of songs. But thank you, Lord, that we can come with others who, Lord, genuinely mean it when they say, Jesus, I am so in love with you. Because, Lord, we do. We are. And, Lord, now as we spend some time looking at your word, that thing that so is an evidence of your love for us, Lord, I pray that you would really strengthen us tonight. Encourage us tonight. Minister to each one of us tonight where we're at. Lord, might we hear from your heart tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Have any of you worried about anything this week? Yeah, kind of a silly question, huh? This past week, obviously, in Black Forest and Monument and Colorado Springs, those, boy, it's just been full of things that we could worry about, things to be anxious about. Or maybe it didn't really touch you directly, but there are things that maybe you would likely be worrying about if they came into your life. So that's pretty much two summers, right, in a row around here with, you know, a lot of tragedies that can inspire worry and fear and anxiety. So maybe a better question would probably be, who here tonight has never had any issues with worry? Yeah. There's not going to be a single hand that goes up when I ask that, because it's easy. Would you agree? It is easy to worry. There are so few things in life that I find easy, but man, that is one of them. You just fall right into it, man. It's as easy as can be. We see our problems building up. We see situations that we cannot fix, that we cannot control. We see our weakness, right, in the midst of all of it. We maybe even the possibility of catastrophes. And what do? We worry. We get anxious. And I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, given what we've seen with our own eyes, given what we've just seen around here this week, to us at least, it makes sense to worry. Right? It seems like it's a normal, natural thing. But you know, one of the things that I think we learn as we walk with the Lord is that it's not all about what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears. Do you agree with that? That's a huge part of our Christian faith. Because in the midst of whatever it is that we might be going through, you know what? There may be perspectives we're completely unaware of. Right? There may be perspectives we have yet to even see. There may be realities and truths that we have forgotten because of our fear and our worry. You know, someone told me once that if a really dense fog came and covered 7 city blocks up to 100 feet deep, if you took all of the water contained in that, it wouldn't even be enough to fill an entire drinking glass. And I mention that because I think sometimes I think that can be compared to the things that we worry about. They look huge, right? They look monumental. They look like they are everywhere and all-encompassing. But I think oftentimes they're different than the way we look at them. From God's perspective, they're different. How many times have you ever been able to, with hindsight, been able to look back on something that you were worrying and fretting about, anxious about, fearful of, and in looking back on it, you were able to say, oh, that was no big deal. Or, hey, the Lord carried me right through it. And so there are perspectives there that we don't have when we're first facing those things. And I think as we depend on the Lord as our comforter, as our provider, we understand that even more. However, since this is something that we all deal with in particular, and maybe this is just for myself, but I have a suspicion the Lord has something in this for all of us. I think it's worthwhile to maybe just take a bit of a break from Nehemiah this evening and ask the question, how do you conquer worry? How do you conquer it? How do you deal with that? Because I believe the Apostle Paul tells us there's a cure for it. Did you know that? There's a cure for worry. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, I think that Paul gives us a very practical, a very powerful, and perhaps for many of us even a very familiar way in which we can all conquer anxiety and fear and worry. So let's read those two verses together. Some of you can probably quote them from memory. Starting at verse 6 there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I remember several years ago when Deb and I, we were going through a very long and very stressful, very difficult situation financially. And some of you have probably been in similar places. And we had spent an evening, as I'm sure maybe some of you have spent those kind of evenings, where the two of us were basically going over our situation and quite honestly, just worrying. You ever sat in a room and just worried with someone? It's like wildfire, isn't it? I mean, it just gets going, you know, as the two of you kind of commiserate together. And finally, we decided to head off to bed. And as we were walking down the hallway, I stuck my head in Kyla's bedroom. And she was just asleep, just laying there, sound asleep, not a care in the world. And I said to Deb, wouldn't it be nice to be a kid again, you know? Wouldn't it be great to be able to just not have to worry about all of that stuff that our parents always took care of, you know, that wasn't on our shoulders? And as I continued walking on to our bedroom, a scripture that I had been reading that morning just popped back in my head. And the Lord's always good to do that with His Word. It was Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. It says this. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And as that verse came back to my mind, as the Holy Spirit brought that verse back to my mind, it dawned on me. I am a child. I am a child with someone who's looking out for me. It's really no different than it was. I am a child of God. And since we are children of God, God has told us, just like we might do with our own kids, to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. And He promises that He is going to care for us. Just like that child, you know, sleeping peacefully without any care, God desires that for us. He desires that we as believers are free from care, that we are at peace, and we know that our Heavenly Father is watching over us. Yet how many times do we find ourselves worrying and fretting and being anxious? A lot, huh? Because it's easy. You know, I saw an interview a while back. It was with a paratrooper in the Army. And he had been discharged and they were talking with him. I think it was on the news. But he mentioned that he had, during his, you know, his career, if you will, he had 50 successful parachute jumps without a single injury. Not a single injury at all. And then, the first day home after he was discharged, he's walking through his living room, trips on the carpet, falls against the coffee table and breaks four ribs. And I remember what he said. He told him, he said, you know what? I worried and fretted about every single parachute jump. Never once did I ever worry that I was going to come home and trip on that rug and break my ribs. And my point with that is that, you know, I mean, we worry and we fret and we get anxious, but what does it do for us? Guys, what's its value in our lives? Does any of our worry ever eliminate the things that we are worrying about? Have any of you ever worried the problem away? Never. Never happens. But you know what it does do? And it does this every single time. It empties us of the strength that we need today. That's what it does. It doesn't enable us to escape all of the evil tomorrow. What it does is it makes us unable to cope with it when it comes. When it does show up. Have you ever been so worried about something that you were paralyzed? Just paralyzed with fear? Had absolutely no idea what to do? Have you ever been so worried or fearful that you found it difficult to concentrate? Just to accomplish anything worthwhile? To be productive? You ever been so worried that you failed to follow through on something good that God had called you to do? See, worry does that to us, doesn't it? It robs us of precious opportunities to do what's right, to do what's good, to do what's helpful. We get so gripped by worry that it hinders us in being effective for the Lord. And instead of standing firm in the Lord and being spiritually stable, which I think is what we all want, we're filled with worry. We're wavering. We're ineffective. We're unstable. And guys, I want you all to notice the first part of verse 6 there. You all see that, right? Be anxious for nothing. The Greek word translated anxious there literally means to be pulled in different directions. Is that not the best definition of worry that you've ever heard in your life? Isn't that what it feels like? Right? Your hopes, your dreams, your desires are pulling you one way and your fears are yanking you the other direction. And that goes on long enough and what happens? You get ripped apart. You get torn apart. In fact, scientists have proven that. They've proven that worry has definite physical consequences. Did you know that? It does. Headaches, neck pain, ulcers, back pain. Worry affects the way we think, or the way our brain works. It affects our digestion. It affects our coordination. Figure that out. Now, all of us have experienced worry in our lives. Some of us spend a lot of time worrying. Maybe you think you're just a worrier. That's just the way, that's just your nature. That's just the way you are, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Well, guys, I have good news for you this evening. Okay? There is a cure. You're looking at the cure. It's right there in front of you. There is a cure for worry. We do not have to be enslaved to our fears. Worry does not have to overwhelm us and keep us from being all that God has called us to be. There is freedom from worry. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. And guys, when we hear Paul say that, we cannot turn around and say back to Paul, well, you know, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know the trials I got going on in my life. Right? We're talking about Paul here. Okay, this is like the king of trials. Okay, that's who he is. He's writing this very letter of Philippians while chained to a guard in a Roman dungeon. He faces an uncertain future. As far as he knows, he could be facing death at any moment. That's what he sees imminent around the corner. And yet he tells the Philippian believers, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, Paul says. And guys, those words were not just for the Philippians. They're for you and they're for me. And man, I needed them this week. We need these words. We are commanded here to what? not worry. It's a command. Did you realize that worry is a sin? And that's a question that stops some Christians just dead in their tracks. But think about it. God has clearly commanded us to not worry, yes? Right. So when we do worry, we're violating God's command, are we not? Guess what that is? Yeah, that's sin. Often I think we make light of worry. We shouldn't. It is sin. Worry is not something that should characterize the life of a child of God. And by the way, this is not the only place in the Bible that talks about it. You know, I mean, I love the way Paul puts it here, but this is not the only place where we are told not to worry. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is the trouble therein." Again, he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, "Do not worry, little flock." I love that. That has the feel of, I am a child in God's arms, you know? "Do not worry, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I think we can take heart in what we're told in 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your anxiety on Him." Why? Because He cares for you. That's right. But hey, you know what? A little worry is okay. Right? I mean, if we're not worrying at all, doesn't that mean we just don't even care? These are some of the thoughts that might go through our head. No, we are not to worry at all. We are not to worry about anything. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. He doesn't say it's okay to be anxious about a few things. He doesn't say, you can be anxious about that one thing that's huge and really weighing on your heart. He doesn't say that. He says, be anxious for nothing. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care or shouldn't be concerned. Paul is not saying to be blasé or to have no care or concern for the things that are going on in your life around you. We should care enough and be concerned enough to do what we can in a situation that could potentially worry us. For example, if you have a massive wildfire approaching your home, you should care enough about your family, about your pets maybe, yourself, to do everything that you can to get them out of there safely. Right? Paul's not telling you to sit in your home and say, I don't care. No big deal. That's not what he's saying. However, you also shouldn't be paralyzed by worrying about what the results the fire will have on your possessions, on your home, on your property, or even your future. That is what Paul says. Another way of looking at it, if you have an unsaved friend or an unsaved loved one, you should be concerned enough to share Christ with them, to be a good testimony in front of them, to pray for their salvation. But you shouldn't be overcome with fear and worry and dread over their eternal future. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, that's great. I see what Paul says, but I'm really good at worrying. This is my gift, right? I mean, this, you know, I'm talented with these things. Maybe you're saying, I want to stop. I don't know how to stop. Because when I try to stop worrying, guess what? I worry all the more. How do I quit being such a worried person? Well, as I said before, there is a cure. Paul doesn't just give us the command and then look back, you know, sit back and say, now let's see how they figure it out. That's not what he does. Because Paul tells us very clearly here that instead of worrying, we need to be prayerful. Do you see that there? Look at verse 6 again with me, would you? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, guys, Paul is telling us here something that is incredibly important. Do not overlook this, because Paul is telling us that the replacement for worry is prayer. That's the replacement for it. That's the thing that will take its place. Did you know that? Were you aware that that is part of the function of prayer? If you don't want to worry, then you need to pray. It's pretty clear, I think. But hey, maybe Paul's just saying we're only to pray about the big things, right? Leaving us to worry about all the little things that maybe God's just too big to be, you know, bothered with. Well, no, Paul is as clear about prayer as he was about worry. Notice what he says: in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Guys, we're to pray about everything. I know some of you are prayer warriors, man. You pray about everything. When I talk with you, you shame me. You know, I mean, I think I want to pray more like that. But you know what? Some of us aren't. Some of us do not place as high a priority on prayer as we should. And I think if we take in what Paul says here, I think sometimes the result in our lives is we're consumed with worry and anxiety. Paul says, pray about the big things, man. Pray about the little things. Pray about everything that concerns you. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Despite how we sometimes treat it, prayer is vital. Absolutely vital in the life of a believer. Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, pray and do not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told to pray without ceasing. So when you find yourself tempted to worry, and yes, I said tempted, because remember, we're talking about sin. When you find yourself tempted to worry, get on your knees instead. Get on your knees. Replace your worry with prayer to your Heavenly Father. Now, I think one of the reasons why we don't do that, I guess in one sense it should be the most natural thing in the world, shouldn't it? If we want that peace, like a little kid who has no worries, when that little kid has a concern, where's the first place they go? They run to daddy or mommy, right? So the same should be true with us. But I think one of the reasons why we don't replace worry with prayer is that we have fooled ourselves into thinking that we can handle things by ourselves. We have a very inflated idea of what we can do and how good we are at it. We have forgotten how desperately we need the Lord in everything. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, apart from me, you can do what? Yeah, zip. Yeah, that's right. Guys, we need to accept that. Believe it. Embrace it. I know the world would tell you, never embrace something like, of course there's some things I can do. And our pride will go, wait a minute. But there's freedom in that. There's that freedom, that peace of a little child that is part of that. As children of our Heavenly Father, we need to take all of our burdens to Him and leave them there. Leave them there. He is sufficient, guys, for every single thing that could ever cause you to worry. Did we not just sing that? Did we not just sing all of the attributes of God up here? We did. He is powerful enough to handle anything that you might be afraid of. He is loving and caring enough to properly resolve anything that could make you anxious. In fact, I believe another reason why we worry, and that's a big part of why it's sin, is that we often do not really truly believe those things about God. We say them. We might even agree with them here. But when push comes to shove, when the fire is at the door, when the difficulty has hit our life, do we respond as though we really believe those things about our Heavenly Father? Sometimes I don't. And my actions belie what I say I believe in. And so we don't pray. And instead we are overcome with worry and anxiety. But guys, our God is all of those things. He is. And He does all of those things for His children. And so Paul says, do not worry, but pray about everything. And just in case, we might have some questions about what that sort of prayer is supposed to look like. Paul doesn't leave that up for grabs either. He gives us the key right there in verse 6 in just two powerful words. Did you see it? With thanksgiving. You see that? Our prayers and supplications in those times of worry are to be offered up with thanksgiving. Guys, do not miss this. This is huge. If you want to be free from worry, then not only do you need to pray about everything, but you need to pray with thanksgiving in your heart. And I think we need to be reminded of this. Because, and again, I say this because if you're anything like me, then you'll know exactly where I'm coming from. Because I think sometimes, some of us, we might pray, but we just kind of carry our worry right into our prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Right? We go to God, but all we're really doing is just rehearsing our worries. That's all that we're doing, which actually makes it worse. You know? That's not the kind of prayer that Paul is talking about here. He's not saying just go to God and whine about every bad thing that's going on in your life, because that's all you're doing. You're rehearsing your worry. What he's saying is, go to the Lord in thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. See, that is an amazing cure for our worry. You see, when we go to the Lord and we begin to just be more worrisome in His presence even, where is the focus? It's on us, isn't it? But when we are praying with thanksgiving, where is our attention focused? Yeah, it's on God. It's focused on His goodness. It's focused on His kindness, on His love. We get our eyes off of our feeble, puny selves, and we get our eyes on our mighty, sovereign, loving Heavenly Father. Did you realize that when you worry, that you are not trusting God like you should? I think a strong barometer of our faith and our trust in God is our level of worry. That's why Paul could sit in a prison and say, be anxious for nothing. That's why Paul could write some of the things he said, even when there was the possibility that he was about to lose his head for his faith. This man wasn't living the cushy life. He wasn't living a privileged, luxurious life. Paul's life, by and large, was suffering, wasn't it? In fact, when Jesus first called Paul, he was talking to a guy, you might remember him, and he was telling this man to pray for Paul because Paul had gone blind because of his vision of Jesus Christ. And he told the man, I must show Paul all that he must suffer for my name's sake. This was to be the demeanor of Paul's life. And yet, Paul's the most hopeful guy in the Bible. Because his focus was where? It was on the Lord. And the same should be true for us no matter what we're going through. No matter what the tragedy, difficulty, or worrisome thing is that has entered our life. Our focus is to be on the Lord. And when we do that, guys, you are going to erupt in thanksgiving. because you will remember all of the things that He has done for you. Now, is it easy to pray and trust and not worry? Is it easy? No, it's not. And just because I'm up here saying these things does not mean that it's easy. The fact that it is repeated so many times in Scripture, that tells us how contrary to our flesh this is, what Paul is saying. Guys, there's a huge perspective shift in a verse like this. You see, we're not to come to God as if He has left us absolutely penniless. As if we're crying out to Him like starving prisoners, just reaching through the prison bars. Oh, please have mercy. That's not how we're supposed to come to our Heavenly Father. Can you imagine if that's the way your kids approached you as a parent? You would be horrified, wouldn't you? Oh, Father, just another piece of bread. I mean, my gosh, you go, take the whole loaf, man, you know? No, that's not how we're to approach our Father at all. We're not to come to God as if we'd never received any blessings from Him ever before. And we are also not to come to God thinking that we shouldn't be receiving any blessings from Him in the future. On the contrary, having already received such amazing, incredible blessings from our Heavenly Father, we remember the Scriptures that tell us that we come to a God who abounds in loving kindness. That's who He is. He wants to bestow good gifts to us. That's what His Word says. He's a God who waits to be gracious to us. Does that sound like a God who's just meager and barely, you know, giving you in? No. This is a God worthy of our thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving really is the right and appropriate spirit in which to come before God. And I really do believe that if we have difficulty praying with thanksgiving, then that might be an indicator that we need to get to know God better. We just don't know Him well enough. Because the God of the Bible is worthy of our praise, worthy of our thanksgiving. The more you get into God's Word, and the closer you draw to Him, and the more you experience His faithfulness in your life, the more your heart is just going to be filled with thanksgiving. And a heart that is filled with thanksgiving, guys, is very rarely also filled with dread and anxiety and worry, you see. The fact is, worry robs us. It rips you off of the joy that the Lord wants you to have. He's your dad, and He wants you to have peace, and He wants you to have joy in all circumstances. And then worry comes along and steals it, takes it away. But when we get our eyes back on the Lord through prayer that's filled with thanksgiving, our worries begin to fade. It doesn't mean they vanish. You understand. But their difficulty in our life, the way it consumes us, begins to fade. Because we begin to understand that, hey, Dad's in control. God is in control. And even in our troubling circumstances, He is working it all together for our good. Again, that's what Scripture tells us about our Heavenly Father. Paul is telling us here that when there is cause for worry and alarm in your life, pray with thanksgiving. No matter how bad your situation is, God can strengthen you and He can grow you through it. His purposes will always prevail in your life, so you can trust Him. You can trust Him no matter what you're in the middle of. And guys, I also want you to see what the results of this is. When you learn to stop worrying and start praying with thanksgiving about everything, the results are amazing. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you want to experience that? Anybody? Yeah. When you replace worry with thankful prayer, God graciously gives you His peace. Not yours that you have to work up. Not worldly peace. Not peace that's based on anything else, but peace directly from God. But I want you all to notice, it's not just any old peace, is it? Paul says here that it gives us peace that is beyond all understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. It doesn't mean that we don't understand the peace God gives, or that we don't even know it's there. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that even in the midst of the most difficult and worrisome problems that you could ever face, where the most logical and most understandable and the most human response is to worry and to fear and to be anxious, God will give you a peace that by all rights you really should not have in that situation. That's what it's saying. We will have a peace that you and I could never work up on our own. We couldn't fake it. We can't create it. He will give that. He can give you inner tranquility when the fires are raging all around you in your life. When your mind is focused on God, through that kind of thankful prayer, He gives you peace. That's one of the reasons I was in Isaiah 26 this week. You know, that verse that we open service with, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That's beautiful. That's what we desire. And Paul goes on to tell us in our passage that sort of peace right there, it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, that kind of peace will act like a soldier, like a sentry to guard your heart. So that peace will stand there and protect your thoughts from other anxiety and worry as well. It's not just an emotional feeling. It actually has a protective element to it as well. Guys, our community has been through a lot this week, and a lot of us have been through the ringer this week as well. And I understand that. And my hope tonight is that we are all able to see and to receive this huge change in perspective that Paul is offering us here. Because of this truth, because of this promise as Christians, just as we were singing about just a few minutes ago, we do not have to be worried. We do not have to be fretful. We do not have to be uptight. We do not have to be downcast. If we are worried, then I believe that Paul would tell us that it's because we're simply choosing to stay there. Not because there's no way out. Not because there's no cure. Because that cure is found through prayer with thanksgiving. Guys, when you feel like worrying, maybe that's been a big part of your life this week in some way. Maybe you got a lot of worry in your life. It has nothing to do with this week's events. When you are worrying, pray instead. Maybe grab a brother or sister. Because sometimes when we're worrying, boy, we're weak, aren't we? Grab someone and have them pray with you. Pray with thanksgiving. And God promises to give you peace that you cannot explain. One last thing that I think we need to remember, especially when times are hard, when things are uncertain, is that real peace, okay? Real peace from God is not the absence of trouble. Okay? That is just because things are going well on any particular day, that's not the peace of God. That's not, you know, what we're talking about. Guys, real peace is the presence of God in your life. That's what peace is. Paul is not saying here that if you just follow his three-step plan, you know, that all of your worries and your problems will magically vanish. He's not saying that. But if you would rather experience God's peace than be worried about your troubles, if you would rather see your life and your difficulties the way God sees them, from His perspective, then pray about everything with thanksgiving for all that God has done in your life. Rehearse the exploits of God for you. Go over in your mind over and over again. You did this, and you did this, and you were faithful here, and you met my needs here. Be thankful for those things. This evening, as we close service, we have an opportunity to pray for one another. Again, I know we're all affected differently by the things that have taken place. My word, just watching TV is enough to freak you out, you know? Much less actually being in the middle of it, much less having people tell you to leave your home or whatever other things that may have taken place in your life this week. But here, we have that opportunity to pray with one another exactly like Paul is talking about right here. And I'd like to offer that to you, okay? I'm going to pray here in a moment, and as the worship team is going to come up and they're going to close us with the final song. I just like Randy, Pastor Randy, if you come down here, I'm going to be down here too. This is not going to be a long, drawn-out thing, or like afterglow or anything like that. I just, if you want to pray with somebody, if you want someone to pray with you with thanksgiving about the worries and the anxieties that you're dealing with in your life, whatever they might be, I just wanted to offer it. That's what the body of Christ is about. And, you know, Randy and I, we're not the only ones that can pray with you. You can pray with anybody. Grab somebody. That's what the body of Christ is for. But there is something special when we pray for one another. And I believe that God wants to give each one of us His peace. Amen. He wants to flood our lives with that. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank You this evening for this section of Scripture. Lord, I admit, I remember many years ago when I was a teenager looking at this verse and thinking that it was so pie in the sky, so unrealistic it seemed to me. And yet, Lord, as I've walked with You and stumbled and seen You be faithful and You pick me up, and I've seen all of the things that You've done, Lord. In fact, I realize Paul was right. Lord, I'm Your child and I have no reason to be anxious. We are Your children through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the salvation that we enjoy. That we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. Lord, what a blessing that is. And Lord, I pray for all of us here. And I pray for our community. Lord, there's a lot of fear and worry right now. I know the fire in large part seems to be contained. And it's all kind of on the wane. But Lord, these sorts of things expose us sometimes. Maybe there's a lot of anxieties and fears that got stirred up in our hearts this week. Lord, I ask that You would deal with those. Lord, if it's an issue that we're not trusting You enough, show us. Help us. If it's just that we didn't even know these things or never thought of these things in that way, Lord, may we put them into practice in our life. May they become a genuine discipline in our walk with You. Lord, if we just need a touch from You, we need that peace. That kind of peace that You're offering here, like our father, our dad. Lord, I pray that You would give it. That You would flood us with it. Lord, thank You for this section of Scripture. Thank You for causing Paul to write it. And I pray that You would use it in each one of our lives as You see fit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you also